All right, everybody. Welcome to our Maximum Impact call, our NAPA members and staff call for February. And we have a lot to accomplish today, a lot to talk through. Many folks are just now getting logged in, so we're going to kind of do a rolling start here. I have to apologize for my little bit of soothing background music here. I'm forced to be remote today. So we have a lot to discuss. Our prime agenda topics are some February marketing musts that we're all working on, and some staff training issues that we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks, both internally in our own schools and also with many member schools, and some interesting pieces of that process that I think should be will be useful for everybody on today's call. Let me start off by saying this. We have a lot of new members that are with us right now. We've had a lot of new schools who have come on board in December and January, as a part of the process of setting goals for the new year and really taking action on growing the schools. And this is one of the most valuable investments that you're ever going to make, is investing in yourself, right? Investing in your own education. There are, as you well know, we speak to, many schools every day, every week, right? Typically, each day I'm on the phone with, somewhere between 5 and 15 martial arts school operators. And one of the things as an industry that hinders us is our unwillingness to look the hard facts in the face, right? To look in the mirror, to look at our results, to look at our stats, to look at exactly how our school is performing, and say to ourselves, well, we need to adjust this. We need to improve this function. We need to improve this system, right? What happens as martial artists is we learn a style of martial art, and the martial arts hierarchy, sort of that, that all knowledge must flow down from the master, really hinders us in operating a martial arts business, because obviously it has its value, right? It has its value with the style of what we do and things, but it hinders us because we become enamored of the process rather than the results. Does that make sense? So, for example, if you were to take Korean stylists and put them all in a room, they would all argue and fight and, kick and scream and spit at the Japanese stylists because they chamber their fists by the belt instead of chambering it by the wrist, right? And it's that type of, let's call it, blind devotion to a methodology that many times holds us back. Because, chambering by the rib, chambering by the belt, they both have value. They have value for different reasons, right? Neither is right. Neither is wrong. They just get you different results. So what I think is very important for everybody on the call, especially our new members, is to be fearless in the face of looking at your current results and making decisions based on those results. You don't want to get too emotionally locked into, quote-unquote, a way of doing things that doesn't get you the result that you want, right? So, for example, everyone should have walked through in the quick start process on the members' website. It's, as you drop down the links, there's always a MI quick start, a quick start link right at the top. As you walk through that, it'll walk you through how to track the main metrics in your school. Number of warm leads per month, how many of those turn into intros, how many of those intros turn into enrollments, how many of those enrollments turn into renewals or upgrades, what's the retention rate, what's the value per student, and what's the quality of the student, right? Those seven metrics. If you can force yourself to be fearless and look at those seven metrics clearly and with a focused eye, then we can help you, change the world, right? We can help you plug the gaps. We can help you with the systems that we know are working in demographics both small and large. Introductory processes, enrollment processes, sales processes, phone skills, all of these other skills that it takes to close those gaps. But if you refuse to look at the process, then it's really hard to make improvements. Does that make sense? So you've really got to be fearless in the face of real data, looking at the actual stats and saying, okay, well, I'm only converting about, 20, I just spoke to a gentleman this afternoon. He's converting 25% from intro to enrollment. Well, 25% is less than a third of what he should be doing, right? So when he becomes a member, when he becomes a client, the first thing I'm going to work on with him in the PeopleFormer group is fixing his introductory process, because 75% of them are walking out, not enrolling, right? Now, if we can capture, now our objective would be 80%, right? We should be closing about 80% of all the people who come in for an intro. Your introductory, let's call them qualified, right? So they've come through some kind of a qualification process. They didn't get off the bus. You know, we know that they're a good quality prospect. We should be able to convert about 80% of them into enrolling. And if we're not converting a percentage close to 80%, if we're not at least over 70, you know, somewhere between 70 and 80, then that means there are some serious issues that we need to work on in the introductory process. Perhaps in the introductory lesson, maybe it's the material that they see, the material they consume, the stuff they get when they get home, the stuff that preps them for their introductory appointment. There are all sorts of pieces of that puzzle. But this is just an illustrative example of how you should be looking every week, every month at the ratios in your business, at the measurements. And this is what we are great at, right? If you look at the results that we get for our members, if you can look at those numbers and say, you know, hey, Master Milroy, hey, you know, Grandmaster Oliver, look, my you know, intro to enrollment ratio is only 42%. What do I need to do? We can drill into exactly that problem, exactly those processes, and help you fix them. And we've done this hundreds of times. So, but the key component there is you just have to be unflinching while looking in the mirror. Does that make sense? You have to look at the ratios, look at the stats, square in the face, and be fearless at saying to yourself, look, I thought my intro was pretty good, but, you know, the ratio ain't. So how do we fix that, right? So I just wanted to kind of frame that for today's purposes, since we have so many new members on the line with us today. So take the time, especially if you're a new member, to go through the quick start material that we've prepared for you. It will walk you through step by step, literally step by step, how to track these numbers, how to look at them, how to analyze them, and then how to focus your energy on the things that are going to make the biggest difference first. There are a million things you can go work on, but we have to make sure that we're focused on the things that are going to get results, especially get them quickly. Okay? So I just kind of wanted to open with that. So today's kind of topic was, we wanted to talk a little bit about February marketing strategies that we're all kind of focused on. And there were some staff training and staff development concepts that we wanted to kind of walk through. Mr. Oliver, anything on the first kind of point today that you'd want to elaborate on, or should we just kind of dive into the February marketing plan?
Well, I guess what I would add to it, I guess, is just been, that's interesting noise there, but is in the emotional side of the numbers. I see two things. I see schools that aren't keeping track of their stats, who in one side look at this big complicated sheet of paper and they don't really know what it is they're trying to do, and they get overwhelmed with action, and then they kind of abdicate to the staff members, and then they get upset that it's not happening smoothly. And we spent a lot of time, I guess it was a year ago now, the Hotel Del, walking through the Inner Circle and the Peak Performers how to really, really do this effectively. But what I would say is that you've just got to get started, and you've got to start with a small number of things that you're keeping really good track of, and then you can add, and then you can add, and then you can add from there. So rather than start trying to keep track of 42 numbers, whatever it might be, is you just have to start keeping track of how many unique individuals came in for an introductory class tonight, and then writing that down. How many of them were for a first lesson, how many of them were a second lesson, how many of them enrolled, and then write that down. And then how many people called us, and write that down. And if you just start slow and start keeping track of small, discrete pieces, you can expand. But if you don't know the numbers, you really don't know what's going wrong. And so you've got to really start paying attention to that. The other thing I see from that is, yeah.
Well, and Mr. Oliver, maybe to simplify at one level even more. Look, you know, obviously we have on the Quick Start process, there's some downloads, there's some statistics tracking sheet downloads and stuff like that, that are pretty basic and rudimentary in nature anyway. But to make it even one step more simple than that, if when somebody comes in for an introductory lesson, they should be filling out some kind of a student questionnaire, right? Some kind of a, you know, if you want to call it a liability waiver, an assumptive risk statement or whatever, but they should be filling out some kind of a sheet of paper. So all you need are those sheets of paper. And then when they enroll, they should be filling out some kind of an agreement. So now you've got the stats that you need. You don't have to do any more work. All you have to do is make a stack of those introductory forms, make a stack of those contracts, and you know exactly every day, every week, every month what the ratio is, right? Mm-hmm. So it's even one step simpler than what you described, as long as you just kind of have that mechanism. You know, it's just really easy, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the other... And you know, Zig Ziglar called it a loser's lamp, but I think the other point of distraction is I've heard the conversation at least 10 times of I'm changing from this software package to this software package, or I'm trying to find the right software package that'll keep track of this stuff. And I'll tell you the software package you need that'll keep track of this stuff is a pen and a piece of paper. You know, if you just have a legal pad on a clipboard at the front desk and just start writing things down, and then, you know, add Tuesday plus, you know, Monday plus Tuesday plus Wednesday, so you have a month, a week to date, and then you add week one plus week two, so you have a month to date. That's good enough. And you can get there with a legal pad and an Excel spreadsheet, and be just good enough. And it doesn't have to be you're getting all bogged down in complicated martial arts software package, and some, and probably most of the schools are using one of the different packages available. But frankly, a lot of times they get so bogged down in trying to figure out the software, they're not keeping track of numbers. The important thing is keeping track of the numbers. And then if you can get the software package to give you, you know, daily growth, which is the same number that is the bank deposit, right? So if the software package gives you daily growth and it gives you contract amount and it gives you, you know, other stats like that, great. And if the software package is really keeping track of your appointment book and getting you good numbers on that, great. Toby, you and I both had some of the most sophisticated software programs ever invented for the martial arts industry 15 years ago. And I never found it help in having better numbers about what was going on. Is just keeping track of what was going on was ultimately what the most important piece of it was.
Yeah, and definitely it's just to keep it simple, stupid. I mean, you know, again, just literally the stacks of paper. You've got the little pink message slips from Office Depot that you get for like a dollar a book, right?
Yeah.
And each of those message slips are the leads. Right, or you sort them out as you go. Well, let me say it this way. You know, we've got the pink phone message slip book at the front counter, and every staff member knows, upon pain of death, every time the phone rings, the slip gets filled out. I don't care if it's the Bright House guy asking how the cable is, right? I don't care if it's the guy who squeegees the windows, you know, asking if we want him to come next week, right? It gets marked out. Because then the program director at the end of the night or whatever it is, you can sort through them all and make decisions about what was a lead and what wasn't, right? So now literally, if you think about that, pink phone message slip, intro slips, contracts, that gives you every number you need except for your retention numbers, and the attendance cards will give you that, right? So literally, it's a stack of pink phone slips on Monday morning, count them out, a stack of intro forms, counting them out, and a stack of contracts. And now you know exactly what your staff training evolution should be all about this week, right? Because, you know, you know where the gap is now, you know?
Yeah. Well, and if you're already more sophisticated than that, we don't mean to say you have to go back to something that's rudimentary, but the point is to get started and not let software, complication, too much stuff to keep track of, anything else get in your way. Just start keeping track of small segments of it. And then gradually you'll expand and expand and expand from there. And sooner or later you'll have a very robust dashboard of knowing what's going on in your school and the ability to really pay attention and keep track of that.
And you know, by the way, just to add this to this conversation from like a non-emotional level, this is no different than any other business, right? Almost all small business owners behave exactly the same way. what happens is they love to cook food, so they decide to go open a restaurant. And they get out there and they start making their food, and they're an artist, right? Just like we are. They're an artist with their food, so they're very proud of their product, and, you know, they're proud of what they do and how they do it, and they think that they do it somehow better than everybody else, which is great. They might be right. But they tend to then, at that stage, start managing by gut feeling rather than managing by numbers. And that's almost always a sure way to really never be able to know what to improve. Because, you know, if I don't know where to focus my energy, I end up focusing it everywhere, and then nothing gets done, right? So it's not any different, you know, with us.
Well, and the other side I was going to say is I've seen schools that are doing big numbers and suddenly take a financial hit for whatever reason. And then all of a sudden they're not keeping good track of their stats. And the analysis is sometimes, you know, I'd rather have no news than bad news. And so they start, can we mute that out, Toby? Or?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But they get to a point they'd rather have no news than bad news. And then they just stop paying attention to the numbers. And see, that's not the way to turn things around. You're having a bad month, bad quarter, a bad year. What you want to know is what's going on. Is, you know, it may be that you have plenty of intros. You just suddenly you slacked off on your conversion and intro process, and your numbers are bad, and a few tweaks fixes it. Or it may be that everything's working just fine, but if you got to go hustle a little bit more to get more traffic in the doors. But if you don't know where the problem is, you don't know how to get the solution.
I would square that argument by saying almost all of us, without good empirical data, we almost all default to the argument that all we need is more traffic. When we see this a lot with new members. I mean, a lot. Maybe, I don't know, 70-75% of the new folks I talk to, their belief is all they need to do is drive more traffic and it fixes all their back-end problems. Although part of that argument is true, if you've got big holes in the bucket, it almost doesn't matter how fast you scoop water into it, right?
Yeah.
So it is important to address those closing issues really early on in this process. Because if we have a flawed sales system, a flawed system of enrolling students, then a lot more marketing effort yields a little bit more enrollment results, but yields a lot more frustration. Because we get so frustrated, we get, oh gosh, we did 100 intros, we've never done 100 intros before, but we still only did 6 enrollments, right? You know, so you want to make sure that especially for, you know, people former Inner Circle members, while you're working with us directly, you want to make sure that you stay focused on the area where we point you first, right? You don't want to allow yourself to get distracted on implementing 10 new cool marketing ideas, which are probably very valuable, in the wrong order. You want to make sure you fix the things in the right order. Yeah, I think it's pretty important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But anyway, so we wanted to shift gears from that. And let me throw in one other element that I've come across a lot recently, just for FYI, and I'm the next Mile High Matter is going to go out pretty quick, and I'm going to address that pretty thoroughly. But you and I have hit a lot of people who, and we've still got some really wacky background noise there, but have hit a lot of, yeah, it seems to be a little bit better, but who have hit a situation where, and I was talking to Mike Massey, nice guy, he's written a couple of books on martial arts management and so forth, and we were having this conversation, but the whole idea of having a small school where you're doing everything yourself and or only have part-time people working for you. We've had several both very high-level schools and marginal schools who are making a living but just kind of doing okay, who have ended up with situations that went into the spectrum where, like in Michael's case, he has now arthritis and he can't teach every class himself. And so, therefore, he sold his school, and he moved out of owning the school. And I've talked to two or three people in situations like that where suddenly they have some kind of chronic condition, and are unable to work the school on a full-time basis, or are unable to at least be on the floor on a full-time basis. And they haven't planned for that eventuality or that potential. What we saw, perhaps even more devastating, recently are several people who unexpectedly ended up with 2 months or 3 months or 5 months, where in one case mom had Alzheimer's and they had to go care for her, in another case back surgery and had to be out, and we can go through the list of quite a few cases that we've come across just in the last few months of people we're working very closely with. And it's a very important thing to recognize, build the staff, and to organize it. From a multi-school operator standpoint, whether it be myself or Jeff Smith or Jen Rennie or, you know, Bill Clark, Sergio Cincinnati, and Tiger Shulman, we've always had to think that way from the standpoint of the school really can't be dependent upon our individual labor. It's got to be dependent upon full-time staff members doing it. But in a single school operation, if you don't plan for what happens, if the head instructor, the full-time employee, goes away, you've got a problem because you've got to have bench strength behind that guy. But you've also got to plan for what happens if you're unable to, unwilling to, or just totally incapable of being the full-time person at that school. What happens? And you've got to have bench strength for yourself as well. You know, even if I'm a single school owner-operator trying to maximize net profit, I'd still rather think in terms of how do I run this business as an absentee-operated business. You and I came across a couple of people, one of the other consultants running around now in the industry, acting like it's new information and a blinding breakthrough, talking about how to have lots of enrollments and lots of business with personally only working on the school a few hours a week. Well, that's the multi-school owner life constantly. Is, you know, I think I told a story last month, Monty Maverick, that I talked about Joy Santa Maria coming out here, and she would point at the floor and point at classes happening and marketing activities going on and so forth, and said, you know, well, what do you do? And, you know, my answer was, well, what I do is I find staff, train them, and make sure that they're doing their job right. I don't actually do any of the frontline stuff. And that's the role in management always. So you've got to be thinking that way. And again, I just want to throw it out there. We're not going to take too much time to address it right now, although it's I really want to get a ton of staff development, supervision, training material done this weekend for all of our Inner Circle Peak Performer members. But it's something you've got to be thinking about. Because again, you know, if you're now 65 and you've got arthritis and it's painful to be on the floor, you should have thought about that before you got to that point. And you know, a lot of other examples in a comparable way. But you've got to be thinking about those eventualities and addressing them ahead of time.
Yeah, it's definitely the long view of these things. And so much of our industry struggles and fails to pass this stuff on to the next generation because of that. You know, they don't have an exit strategy. They don't have a succession plan where it's viable. And you know, again, what you described was exactly at my most effective level operating these, you know, these locations down here, the three schools down here just in this one area. I was there 4 hours a week, 2 hours on Monday for staff training, 2 hours on Wednesday for staff training. And that was the most effective, profitable, successful, you know, way that the schools operated, right? I mean, it was, you know, I was 100% focused on getting the best people, training the hell out of them, you know, making sure that the systems were operating like, you know, well-oiled machines. And when someone is responsible for that, it's amazing how effective those things can be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you're responsible for that and 16 other things, you get 1/16th of the efficacy, right? So it's definitely, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's definitely the way you have to be thinking about this stuff from a multi or from an exit strategy standpoint.
Yeah. Well, and after we had shifted all the schools to franchises, you know, probably the best example as a single school operator, I guess, is, you know, I owned a single school that I took back from a franchisee who didn't do well with it, and was at the same time, you know, running NAPNA with you and doing coaching and running the franchise. But that location very consistently with supervision and staff training was doing $400,000 a year, netting about $120,000 a year, with two full-time staff members there who were both making around $60,000 a year. And it was operating very smoothly. It clicked along like that very consistently for several years. And it was just about doing ongoing training and supervising a little bit. I was physically in that school probably four times a year. So it's a simple thing. I won't say easy, but it's a simple thing to do if you structure your business properly in order to put those pieces together and get it where it's not dependent upon your full-time labor. But you've got to be thinking about that. Again, you know, what happens if you're skiing and you break your leg? What happens if you develop some kind of permanent issue? What happens if you have to be gone for a family medical emergency or for something else for a period of time? How do you maintain and how do you keep that clicking along?
Yeah, and you know, maybe the last item on that, I think that you may want to be considering is, you know, every skill is the same. Every skill is learnable, but the skills that we practice are the ones that we get good at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about that for yourself in your martial arts school. If you're not constantly right now in a staff development, training, and engagement mode, if you're not in a leadership role with your staff members all the time, then you're probably not really all that good at it, right? Let me say it differently. The more you're in that role, the better you get at it, right? So what you're describing, I think, is critically important because there is a time horizon. If you wait too long to start these processes, your skill set will be not sufficient, right? So let's say I wait until 5 years before I want to retire or 5 years before I want an exit and then decide that I should develop some staff, well, you're not going to be all that good at it, right? It's going to take 5 or 6 years for you to just get your feet under you with doing this stuff, right? Really motivating and training and selecting staff and all that. And maybe the last thing I would augment that with is for all of our Inner Circle and Peak Performer members who are coming down here to Orlando this weekend, I have up on the website, and I'm going to email around to everybody, the Disney training sessions that we did a couple of years ago because one of those sessions was the Disney way of staff selection, training, and engagement. And you may have a different perspective, Mr. Oliver, but from a rubber meets the road, grassroots, step-by-step standpoint, it's one of the best staff development courses I've ever seen, or at least compressed into a day. And they have some really, really powerful ways to think about selecting staff. And above anything else, that's one of the things I think that they do incredibly well. They just pick the right people, and they're really good at figuring out who to pick. So all that stuff is up on the Inner Circle section, People Form Inner Circle section, and I'm going to email it all around to everybody as well. Additionally, there's the Disney Way Customer Service entire course up there as well. So I'm going to send all that stuff around to everybody just so you've got that handy. But I think we should probably move into marketing here pretty soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and just as a reminder for everybody, our first of the Inner Circle Peak Performers meetings is this weekend. And on Friday, Saturday, we're going to have the Inner Circle. On Saturday, Sunday, we have Peak Performers. Also on Friday, we have a small one-day little Extreme Success Academy event on Friday. And so anyone who is going to be anywhere near Orlando, who's not an Inner Circle of Peak Performers, we would certainly invite you to come over on Friday and participate in that one-day session and get a chance to say hi and catch up and answer any questions you have. And anyone who has any school owner friends in the Orlando, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Jacksonville, anywhere in that neck of the woods, let them know about it and invite them over because we'd love to have any positive and exciting and growth-oriented school owners as possible there, and prefer not to have anybody who doesn't fit that category, to tell you the truth. But good. Let's shift on to February marketing, and also we want to make sure we get any and all questions answered. Matt Milroy, have you had many questions sent over to you for today's call?
Yeah, I've got a couple by email, but I think we'll probably I'm gonna probably be able to chip through two of them with the marketing, and we already kind of chipped through one with the staff development kind of concept, but I think we're going to be able to chip through my other question by email in the marketing session, so I think I'm all right.
Okay, good. Well, good. So why don't we start off with you, Matt Miller. What would the five or six obvious points of marketing for February?
Sure. And I'm going to be fighting a little bit of background noise here for a minute. The battery in my Lexus blew up this morning, so I'm picking it up right now from the dealership. So I may fight just a little bit of background noise here for a moment or two. But I guess there are three big things that you know, one, it's almost too late for, but there are three big things that we always want to be focusing on in February, right? One is, you know, obviously, especially in family schools, you know, tis the season, right? So any and everything that we can be doing to tie into Valentine's Day is always a big deal, right? So, especially in the family market, when you're looking at kids' schools, you know, almost all of them have those little Valentine's Day parties and things like that, and they give each other Valentine's. So we always print, you know, 5,000 or 6,000, you know, little ad cards and make them look like Valentine's. And they get to hand them out, to all their friends. And basically, it's just like a mass flyer distribution strategy, right? So, if you look on the member site, and I'll look to find exactly where I put the letter. I always, you know, my biggest problem with the member site is probably everybody's. We have so much stuff up there, I forget where I put stuff. I know it would be under Marketing 101. But what we'll do is we send a letter to all the parents a week or so ahead of time, reminding them that we're going to provide Valentine's cards for all the kids so they don't have to go to the store and buy them, right? And, you know, they're karate-themed little cards, and we've got, I don't know, maybe 15 designs or something like that up on the print marketing site. So if you just go into your NATMA member section and click on the NATMA Marketing Center, NATMA Print Marketing Center, it'll all be there. And so, you know, you can print 5,000 of these things for like $250 or something like that. I mean, they're just astronomically inexpensive. And this is one of those deals where they're going to be doing it anyway. Thank you very much. You know, they're going to go to Walmart or they're going to go to Target or whatever and buy, you know, 50 or 30, however many they're in their elementary school classroom, you know, 30 Power Ranger cards or whatever's hot, I guess, Iron Man or, I don't know, whatever's cool this season, right? And you know, they have a little...
Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles are hot.
Ninja Turtles, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's gonna be a great year for movie side because the next Ninja Turtle movie is coming out. I assume it'll do very, very well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually making some inroads right now with the distribution company to be able to do some NATMA member exclusive operations with that release. So, you know, really kind of keep your eyes open for that. But I'm not ready to talk about it yet. But we will be probably in a couple of months. But anyway, so just this is a marketing staple, I would say, right? It's just something that's every year on the marketing plan. You know, you're going to give each student a little bundle of maybe 25 or 30, or I like to give them 50 of them, right? Why not, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have their little party at their elementary school or whatever it is, and they hand them out to each other. And, again, all it is just a mass flyer distribution strategy. It's not like, you know, outbound telemarketing or direct mail or something where, you know, you're going to expect a certain percentage response. But, you know, for $200, you know, if you can get, you know, a couple thousand of these things out there, why wouldn't you, right? And you get three or four calls and you're in clover, right? So that's the concept. So we give them, you know, 30 or 40 of them strapped together and we send a letter to all the parents, a couple of emails, a text message or two, reminding them that we're going to do that and framing it as a benefit for them, right? You know, dear families, we know that, you know, over the next couple of weeks you're going to be, with as busy as we are as parents, with as many things that we have to attend to, birthday parties and, you know, this and that, you know, all of these other things that take time, you know, we're going to help you out, you know, one step, and by the way, it helps us too, you know, we're going to provide your child with, you know, Valentine's cards for their whole class, you want to be upfront about it, you don't want it to be perceived as being deceptive, but it's, hey, we're going to help you out, and by the way, it helps us out too, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so we're going to make sure we clearly communicate that a couple of weeks ahead of time, like right now, right? And so that they don't go out and buy the things, you know, before you get a chance to get to them. And then, you know, we'll give them a stack of the things with a little slip of instructions on how to use them, right? So these are what you take to your school, and you give them to your friends, and whatever. And, you know, when you give them to your friends, you say this, right? Or, you know, you give them a little phrase to say or something like that. You know, you're such a great friend of mine. You know, have you ever thought about, you know, I mean, you're black belt like me, and here, you know, that kind of a thing, right? So, I mean, that's the concept, right? I mean, it's a pretty simple, it's old school. I mean, we've been doing it for I don't know how many decades, right? You know, but the as cheap as digital printing is now, and as well as the thing works, it's just a staple that we do every year, right? So now you have to be thinking about Valentine's Day as an event to tie a lot of things into, right? So obviously, press campaigns. If you go into the member site, there are two Valentine's Day press campaigns that you should be looking at, where we do, you know, like maybe a safety day for women or a women's self-defense course or something with couples. You know, we have a release up there, a press campaign for a sweetheart, you know, workout where they can come in with their, you know, significant other and, you know, participate together, things like that. So you want to kind of focus on it as a sort of gravitational event. When you tie media and press campaigns into that, your local stations are all looking for, you know, things that tie into Valentine's Day, right? So it's a good chance for you to try to get some coverage and, you know, get some publicity for the school as well. In conjunction with all that, you want to really be drawing that concentric circle around all the business-to-business opportunities, right? So just like we do with Halloween, just like we do with Christmas, just like we do with movie releases, you want to be looking for physical locations where there'll be a big influx of your ideal customers over the next couple of weeks, right? So over the next, you know, 10 days or so, there'll be, I don't know what the number is, 5,000, 8,000, 10,000 men all desperately seeking, you know, the cool Valentine gift for wife or for, you know, the significant other. And, you know, shouldn't those be places that you should be, right? So the same sort of Valentine Day ad card kind of a concept or rack card concept. Right now we're looking very closely at all the flower shops, you know, the jewelry stores, the candy places, you know, the places where people will be going in droves all at once to go get stuff, right? Just like we do with the Halloween costume shops, just like we do with the Christmas tree vendors, just like we do with the fireworks vendors on 4th of July, right? Same kind of concept. And these people are typically relatively easy to work with, but the point being, if there's anywhere in your community where upscale family members are going to be in mass, those are great targets for these types of business-to-business promotions, right? So again, you know, the short list is, you know, the florist, the little rose place that pops up on the side of the road for 3 weeks, you know, or for 2 weeks or whatever. You know, places like that where you'll have this big group of potential prospects. And I was actually just speaking with a new former member yesterday. And he has business-to-business partnerships like this. He picked up this idea from a seminar that we did at a YKK event. And actually, maybe a year ago. So it's probably the one that you were at, Mr. Oliver. And he had worked on it for about a year. And what he's doing right now is he has seven teams of volunteers who, over the next 2 weeks, are going to be at, you know, seven different locations doing these kind of, like, booths and stuff. Now, that's a pretty good implementation of that, right? I mean, that's a pretty aggressive, you know, get human beings out on the street, right? You know, certainly on the easy end of the spectrum, you know, being able to get that vendor or that business partner to hand out your stuff or, you know, to do that, I think, is usually pretty easy. But he's really taking it to the next level, you know? So he's got these seven teams of booth managers who are going to go and do the whole spin wheel deal at, you know, I wish I could remember the whole list of places that he was talking about, but, you know, a local Target and, you know, a few places like that over those few days before Valentine's Day with the express, you know, purpose of scooping up that rush of fathers who are freaked out trying to get something for their wife, right? So, you know, I think those are three things that you really want to be focused on right now. The fourth thing is looking far, far, farther ahead. many, many, many of our folks, of the folks that we work with, especially folks like Paul Miller and especially folks that are working in the more robust child care arena. But regardless of that, if you do any kind of summer camps, right now is a really good time to be talking about that, right? So right now is when you should kind of be ramping up your marketing efforts for your summer activities for your internal students. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But the primary reason... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let me interject two things real quickly on that and maybe where you were going anyway. But our Sterling location with Jeff Smith, they did an extra, I think it was $15,000 cash in January with people prepaying for summer camp.
Exactly.
So it really is right now the time to do that. The other side of it is that if you're going to be out doing marketing over the summer in summer camps, other people's summer camps, whether it be Bible study camps or community centers or commercial daycares, whatever it might be, if that's in the kids market, if you're going to be in that mode, what you want to do is you want to line that stuff up right now.
Exactly.
So they're all busy, one, starting to register people, but two, planning out their summer. So it's time to be out there into that arena quickly so that you don't miss out.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's exactly the direction I was going because I guess to loop back through it just to make sure that everybody's clear. Right now is a great time to be selling your own summer camps. There are a couple of reasons that it's really, really a good idea to do it now. Because, number one, once you get them enrolled in the summer camp, as soon as somebody's enrolled in the thing, you should be thinking about how to turn that into a referral. And if you wait until the month before the summer happens, or 2 weeks before the summer happens, all of your registrant friends will already be busy doing stuff, right? Or at least a greater portion of them, right? So if you get, you know, let's say a couple of weeks or let's say 20 or 30 people already enrolled in your summer camp now, now you've got 2 or 3 months to work on them to get them to bring their friends, right, to get them to engage with their with referrals, to be referral mechanisms. And I've seen many, many, many times, one model versus the other model. And one model is I wait until, the last minute or, a couple of months, a month before summer, and I scoop up, 2 dozen of my students to do it. But then I like the model better where I scoop them up now, maybe 2/3 as many, but it gives me 4 months to work on them to turn that into referrals, therefore doubling the number of students I had in there and still trying to scoop up the students as well, right? But it gives you that marketing window that you don't have if you wait, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that you said is exactly right. If you're working with, obviously if you've been a member for a while, you know this, but every summer, one of our biggest marketing strategies for the, I wouldn't say biggest, but one of our most successful marketing strategies year over year over year is working with other local day camps, right? People who almost everybody else in the martial arts industry perceive as competition, but we perceive as a huge asset, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we go to work with them. Now, right now, if you think about the day in the life of an elementary school program facilitator, right? If you think about how they live their life and how seasons hit them, well, they were busy as hell 2.5 weeks ago because it was the new year, they were freaked out, it was the new semester, standardized exams, all these things that they had to worry about, right? Well, right now, there ain't so much going on for them, right? So they've gotten through the new year rush, and right now they're kind of transitioning into planning for what's coming in, at the end of the school year, right? So right now is a great time to be talking to these guys. About what their plans are and how you can be an asset to them. And we'll walk you through all that, over the next few weeks. But at minimum, you should be creating a big database or a big list of all the local camps that are going to be happening and start the data mining process. Start calling them all, pretending you're a prospect, and finding out all the details about the camp, And we'll walk through all that in detail over the next few weeks, but it's a perfect time of the season to be doing all that stuff. So you're exactly right. That's the direction I was going. And it's almost perfect time to be looking at that stuff.
Yeah, and maybe let's go back to segue marketing from a bigger perspective. Is I don't know if I have ever talked to a school owner where I said to them, wow, you're doing too much stuff to get the name of the school out there. You know, calm down and focus on teaching. Although I've had the opposite conversation, I don't know, you know, so many times I'm blue in the face, which is the thing that when we get busy, we get distracted, and especially when you have a week or a month with a lot of introductory traffic and a lot of enrollments, the thing we take our eye off the ball of is any of the marketing activities. And again, regardless of what market you're in, whether you're in the fitness kickboxing, whether you're in the, we've got a lot of wind noise there, so it seems like that's what it is. Whether you're in the adult MMA market, whether you're in the kids market or anything in between, is you always want to have just a lot of things going on. And, you know, I've hit some of the biggest home runs of anybody I know of in the industry over the years, but I never really could predict the things that were going to be home runs, the things that were going to be base hits, and the things that were going to strike out ahead of time. I mean, you always go into everything with optimism. But some of the most, I posted a picture on Facebook recently of Howard Bush and Mark Panio. He was like 80-something, and he was six or seven. And it was a beautifully done poster that we did as a movie promotion all the way back to Karate Kid 3. And a lot of people were talking to me about whether that same ad, do they all like the ad. And when we did it, it was a very high-priced advertising agency, did the complete campaign, and it was posters, and it was guest passes, and it was flyers, and it was a display set up for the movie theaters, and we had, you know, a huge amount of cash flow coming in and spent a ton of money on this. And of all the different advertising campaigns in the newspaper and in the theaters and everything else that we ever did, this one bombed the hardest. And it was a good lesson for me of not to, you know, not to turn over to a professional that didn't understand my business as well as I understood the martial arts business, which we've now brought all of those experiences now to all of our members. But you see, going into that, I thought we were just going to fill the schools on that deal. And the thousands of dollars that I spent with them and the thousands of dollars we spent in professional photography and everything was going to be worthwhile. And the two campaigns I had done previously outpulled them 5-1. And same thing is true of public relations and publicity, is you want to be doing it constantly, but sometimes you're going to have a big hit. Sometimes you're not even going to know it happened and everything in between. Same thing is true with everything from buddy days to birthday parties to pizza parties. Is if you're going to market with, say, birthday parties and pizza parties, you got to have a bunch of them. Because some are going to be a big home run, and some of them are going to be a base hit, some of them are going to crap out, and there's everything in between. But as a broad brush, is we've got to make sure we're always focused on generating local publicity. A good friend of mine, Chris Apold, I think he's up to like 600 articles in local newspapers about his school. It's his primary driver. June Reed, you know, my instructor, I don't know how many thousands of magazine articles and newspaper articles and TV spots he's generated over the years. But in June Reed's case, you never knew what was going to be a home run and you never knew what was going to, you know, get nothing. And that's true of all publicity. So we want to make sure that we're always working on publicity. We want to make sure that we're always working on grassroots community outreach, business-to-business, organization-to-organization. We also always want to make sure we're working on internal referral systems. And again, we've seen some schools who can drive 15, 20, 30 enrollments a month from internal referral systems, although we've also seen those same schools get dependent upon that and then have it not work for some period of time, and then they're struggling. So you want to be working on publicity. You want to be working on external activities with business-to-business and or community outreach, like with elementary schools or with public service organizations. You want to make sure you're working on the internal referral systems, not hoping for word of mouth, but you're doing birthday parties, you're doing buddy days and invitations to the graduations and so forth. You also want to make sure you're working the list of all the little, you know, what I would almost term silly things that over the years a lot of times I didn't do because we had so many other things going on in the pipeline, but that works. The rack card thing, if you have 300 or 400 rack cards out, it's probably consistently good for 3 to 6 enrollments a month. The bandit signs out everywhere work like gangbusters, and they'll get thrown away, and you'll get, you know, warned for them in some places, but they work like gangbusters. Lead boxes work just fine. Nowadays, I prefer to do the rack cards than lead boxes. But again, Toby, how many schools do you come across that are doing too much marketing?
Yeah, no, it's almost always the opposite, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we just got to get more stuff going.
I would say maybe one more. There might be one more way to qualify that as well, where, and I'm going to make an overgeneralization here, where you never know what's going to hit and what's going to bomb, right? The only thing that I would say to modify that is there are an awful lot of ways to make things that could be hits bombs if you don't implement them very well. You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So if I have the, you know, the, we have this down here in Central Florida, and I had done it for, I don't know, 10 years, I guess, maybe 12 years. And it was every year a pretty good feeder until I figured out how to fix the thing, and it was a great feeder. We have like a kids expo, right? So, you know, I don't know what it is, 7,000 or 8,000 families, you know, that come through this thing. And for years, all we did was a demo and pass out flyers, right? And that was literally my level of sophistication with how I was taught these things should work. Do a demo. If you do a good demo, you have more people. If you don't do a good demo, you have less people that will come and lift you up. I mean, literally, that's how I thought about it. And you know, showing up and handing out flyers is kind of like the least effective thing on the list, right? If there are 5 levels of contact at a live event, showing up is level 1, distributing information is level 2, and those happen to be the 2 levels that have exactly the least effectiveness, right? Then the 3rd level of contact is setting an appointment. Right. I'm sorry. Generating a lead. The 4th level is setting an appointment, and the 5th level is actually making some kind of little sale. So I guess the only way I would augment what you said is there are an awful lot of ways to go at some of these things half-hearted that almost guarantee their failure. So, however, the opposite is not true. There are times where you can hit all the buttons, you can tick all the boxes, and still not have it work out real well. But I'd rather do that one than the other. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather really take a damn swipe at it, you know? I remember there was a meme on Facebook or something like that, but I remember a baseball player talking about it. He said, look, you know, if I strike out, I strike out. But if I hit it, right, if I hit it, it's going to be a hit. Right? I'm not playing around here. This is my career. So I think it's the same. I think it's the same kind of concept, you know?
That's exactly right. And you know, and what happens too many times is that what people will do is do an idea poorly and then blame the concept rather than the implementation. And you know, again, I mean, if I've got a booth in a theater or a booth at a fair, and I truthfully have talked to everyone who came within 30 feet of me and gave them the elevator pitch, if you want, about what we're doing, and spoke to them persuasively and still crapped out. Okay, so maybe that's true. But what all you have to do is go to any trade show or fair or event, and what you see most people doing is, you know, passing out flyers, which you got to pass out a lot of flyers to get any traffic. You know, I've told this story a few times, but I was at that YKKM event speaking, and a very nice Korean gentleman, I wish I could remember his name right now, but was speaking, and he has a Tang Sudo school, I think it's suburban Chicago, and he was doing 30 to 45 enrollments a month consistently. And he made an offhand comment about, you know, what the enrollment flow of the school was. And I ask him, well, okay, nobody else is going to ask you. I'll ask you, what is it you're doing to generate consistently 40, 45 enrollments a month? He goes, oh, we just do flyers. And I said, next, do you have a copy of the flyer with you? He goes, yeah, it's right here. And I looked at it, and, you know, conservatively, I'm probably the most educated person on advertising in the martial arts industry. And I looked at the flyer, and it, you know, was mediocre at best. And nobody else was going to ask the question, so I asked the question. I said, well, how many damn flyers do you put out a month? and where do you put them out in order to generate that many enrollments? Well, his answer was he distributed 100,000 flyers a month. And that's a pretty good ratio. If you're just going to do flyers, you got to have a damn lot of flyers out to get any kind of results. But, you know, I opened 5 schools. Mostly I'm putting out flyers, except we were doing a damn lot of flyers out. And we were taping them right to their front door so they couldn't miss it, and then talking to human beings if they opened the door. So a lot of these things will work, but you've got to do enough volume and you've got to do it effectively enough. And, you know, when it comes to the live events, especially in the kids market, and this is true of all the markets, but in the live events, we have all this stuff up in the member site. How to do the booth, what it looks like, how to set it up. You know, you got to make sure you go look at it. And then, Matt, we have that interview with Professor Williams, Sasha Williams. What was that titled? How to do 200
intros. Yep. 250 intros. Yep, yep. And I've got it in the Marketing 101 section under fundamentals. So it's everybody has, like, it's always there too. You know what I mean? I have it like as a sticky thing. So every new member, as they go through the Marketing 101 section, everybody has to encounter it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, good, good. But that's essential. So going back to the checklist here is, if I were doing the 20 things that I want to have going in February, number one, I want to have a one or two big Valentine's Day themed events. And so number two, and again, depending upon who you're working with, I mean, that could be a parents' night out for the kids, so Valentine's date night, and you've got all the kids there at the school, and they've got an invitation to bring their friends, and you've got a whole, I mean, and no event you do at the school should, every event should be a student retention event, and it should be a buddy referral event.
And that's all, just as a point of technique for everybody, as a point of tactic for everybody. I think the strategy, you're exactly right. Especially this type of a thing with like a Valentine's Day parents night out in the family market. I mean, almost all parents are looking for that, right? They almost all, you know, want somebody qualified and capable to take care of the kids while they can have a night to relax. And as a point of tactic, what we do in a lot of those cases is, and I'm just going to talk through a couple of examples. Some of them may be emotionally objectionable to some portion of the human beings that are listening, but just take it, you know, take it as a concept. You know, maybe it's $35 or $45 to come, but if you bring a friend, it's free. You know, maybe it's $15 for leadership members, $35 for non-leadership members. Free if you bring two friends, or whatever, right? I mean, or maybe you split the cost if you bring a friend, and it's only $15 or $17.50 a piece, or something like that, right? So don't be afraid of giving them overt incentives to be thinking that way. If nothing else, it forces your staff to talk about it in such terms. Does that make sense? So even if it's not a financial incentive, right? Even if it's not you pay or you get it for free if you bring somebody, even if it's some other iteration of that concept, you want to make it overt, part of the calendar, part of the poster, part of the signage, so that the staff, like, can't ignore it. They can't forget to talk about it and to talk about it in terms that get people excited about doing that. One of the best concepts that, statistically, that I've seen that we use all the time is making it a leadership theme event so that the student is incentivized to bring somebody that they know who doesn't already do martial arts. And part of the script is, at this special, you know, leadership, whatever, Valentine's Day, you know, parents night out, you have one of the pieces of culture and tradition that we have in our schools is that the instructor ties on the white belt of every student. And then we don't tie any more belts on until we get the black belt, right? So we kind of create a piece of culture around that, a piece of mythos. And so what we tell them is, now listen, you know, this is a leadership activity. You're going to be working on 3 specific leadership skills. And if you have the ability to be effective with those 3 leadership skills, the person that you bring is going to have the opportunity to become a white belt, earn their very first white belt that day. And since you were their instructor, you're the person who gets to tie that belt on, right? So, I mean, they get all giddy about that, right? And the point is, you want to make sure that you bring somebody who doesn't already know about martial arts, because you want to start off with a blank canvas, right? You wouldn't want to have somebody who maybe is already a green belt in another style or something like that, because, you know, they would have learned, you know, a different way of doing things, and you want to start off with this clean slate so that you can teach them your way, right? You can teach them our way, you know, something like that, right? So, and all that stuff resonates really well with the student and doesn't come across as, you know, salesy, right? It's completely logical, right? It makes complete sense. So just as a matter of tactic, you may want to be thinking about that, because it really does plus the activity. You know what I'm saying? It gives you a bit of a multiple on how effective it'll be, because now you have the logic behind why they should do it, not just say, hey, by the way, bring your friends in, it's cheaper, right? I mean, you really want to give them Tony Robbins on the sales training thing, it'd be urban and lurban, emotional reasons to buy now and logical reasons to buy now. You got to do both, right? So, just a thought on tactics.
Well, the most effective buddy day I've ever seen is one that they did at our location in Fresno, California. And somewhere we have this on video. So if we can find it, we should put it up on the member site. It may be over for the Mile High Karate School. But it was the head instructor, who is a young gentleman. I think he's 20. And he had his presentation down that obviously in martial arts we're all working on learning our leadership skills. And the first place that you can exercise your leadership skills is by convincing your friends to come down to our great buddy day that they'll have a ball at, and that it'll be very valuable for them. And the whole theme of the conversation was not, we'd love you to bring your buddy down because we'd love to have new students. It was the first way that you can learn to develop your leadership skills is share with them an event that they will love, that'll be extremely useful and valuable for them, and convince them that they should be here. And it was, this was a buddy day, 3,200 square foot school. There was no standing room only, people walking from the sidewalk. And obviously there was more to it than that, but I mean, that was the main pitch is, you know, you want to learn how to use your leadership skills by leading your buddies to come participate in this great event that'll be very extremely valuable for them.
Yeah, and that would, I was on mute for some reason. Yeah, I would augment that by saying that no sales letter, no email, no text message, no video on YouTube, no blog post, no Facebook promoted post, no Facebook activity or event or any of that stuff. Instructor tapping kid on shoulder saying, hey, am I going to see you at the Ninja Night on Thursday? Or, hey, are you going to be at the, right? None of that beats that, right? Now, it's a brilliant augmentation of all that, right? It's multimedia strategy, right, where you're hitting them from every possible direction. But nothing beats that personal one-on-one tap on shoulder. Hey, by the way, you know, I was really hoping to see you at the Ninja Night on Friday. You know, are you going to be there, right? I mean, nothing trumps that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's, Master Melrose, should we open it up for live questions? See if anybody has any live questions right now, or do you or have any email questions that we should address?
No, I did. I had two, but they were both, I think we addressed them pretty thoroughly. Now, if you're on the line and you sent one of those over to me, and you don't think we addressed it thoroughly enough, or if you have any other questions, all you have to do is hit *6 on your phone, and you'll be unmuted. And I, again, I'm not sitting in front of my conference call portal, so I won't actually be able to see your hand go up right now. My Lexus battery blew up for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm actually on the way back home right now. They've just fixed it. But but you can just hit *6 on your phone and speak up, and we'll be able to hear you. So just hit *6, and you'll be unmuted, and you can jump right in with whatever question you may have about any of this stuff. And by the way, just as a point of clarity and emotional confidence for everybody, you know, no question is too stupid, right? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter how the purpose for these calls, in large part, is to drill down into as much of the tactical approach as you need. We know we have to get the strategic approach across, right? because without the right strategy, it doesn't matter how brilliant of a tactician you are, you lose, right? So sometimes it's difficult for us to get as much tactical, knowledge to everybody as humanly possible over this kind of a medium, unless we know specifically where to focus, right? So don't think that, you know, God, I've never done a Ninja Knight before, I've never done a Branch Knight Out before, how do I do it? You know, don't think that that's a dumb question, because if you have it, certainly others do too.
Absolutely. And again, anyone who wants to unmute themselves and ask questions, just jump in at any time. While we're doing that, Toby, let's go through, because again, I keep finding even, you know, $80,000 a month schools within with us for 2 or 3 years often are not fully implementing all the tools that we make available for them. And specific, I mean, there is, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars and how many thousands of man hours in the last 90 days doing massive upgrades to member materials, the member website, and all of the support material. And I think it's extremely, extremely useful for us to continue to, you know, whine about and remind everybody and insist that you do implementation. And the several components that I might point out right now is every school, and it's all up there right now for you in HTML format. All you have to do is add your school information and plug it into your email system. And we're, in fact, working on being able to do that part for you, too. But,
let me interrupt for 1 second. Pete had just texted me and said that the conference line was on speaker only. So I've now switched over to Q&A. So you now can hit star 6 and jump in. Apparently, a moment ago, you couldn't. So check that for me, Pete, and make sure that that's right. Again, I'm operating this from a mobile phone, which I've never done before, so I'm not sure if I have it exactly right. So if you cannot get that star 6 to work, zap me back, and I'll see if I can fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. But everybody should be implementing, at the very least, the lessons of the week, which are all done for you and can be emailed out to the students, can be printed out, handed out to the students, can be mailed out to the students. And you should be using that for everybody in your lead database. So anybody who you come in contact with going as far back as you can, you should be using that for every enrolled student. You should be using that for all your Black Belt Club members. You should be using that for all of your leadership members. And you should be using that for all of your assistant instructors and staff. The second thing is the Kickin' newsletter, which should be going to all of those levels of people as well. Then the next thing is the Black Belt Club materials. And if you don't have a Black Belt Club, and again, this doesn't matter whether you're in fitness or you're in adults or you're in kids, if you don't have a Black Belt Club implemented, you're missing the boat, both from a standpoint of an easy way to have a step up in the tuition, but more importantly, a long-term opportunity to anchor them into really being with you long-term. The next thing I would say is that if you don't have a robust leadership program in place and are not doing a good job of converting people into that, you've got to really focus on that. And again, best numbers I've ever seen on that was at our training center in Sterling with Jeff Smith, but the stat was, and this is over a long period of time, 87% of everybody who enrolled ended up renewing within the first 2 months, and 90% of the people who renewed into leadership as opposed to Black Belt Club, which was $100 more than Black Belt Club, which was $50 more than initial enrollment. So you should be implementing that, and one of the things that we're very proud of. And again, kudos to Master Melroy and America Hura and to Dave and the other team, the rest of the team, is the complete robust leadership program done for you. And then the other thing you should be implementing is all of your staff should be going through those Gold Team lessons and reports every month. So we've got to be focused on those and really really working with the assistant instructor development, so you always have that feeder program going on.
Yeah, and I would say, I would say on all that stuff too, by the way, we just yesterday, and you guys will all start seeing this in your inbox like now, but just yesterday we turned on a new service, which we've been developing over the last couple of weeks, where all this material will now be coming to you rather than you having to go get it. So all I can say at this stage is you've got to watch your inbox, and when the new, for example, Gold Team material goes live on the website for this month, it'll automatically be sent out to you. And when the new, you know, National Black Belt Club material goes live, you know, this month's curriculum, that'll automatically be emailed to you as well. And we have all of that set up for each member level, but we also have the kick-in newsletter that goes to your students. That will also come to you automatically, and you can just edit the header as you, I have a little tutorial up there, you can just edit the header as you like and send it directly out to them. And within a very short number of days, we'll have that a system set up so that you can actually enter in your student email address, and we can send it directly to them for you. So, you know, we're going to have specific member websites for your Gold Team members, for your National Black Belt Club members, for your leadership members, all that sort of stuff, all just kind of pre-done already, so that you don't have to mess with it. But that back-end system we just went live with last night. So you'll start getting all that stuff like Thursday, I think, is the first broadcast, if I'm not mistaken. So just pay particular attention to that. As each of those member resources goes live, you'll automatically get a notification. You'll be able to click there, log straight in, and go get it without having to, you know, it's kind of like a push system rather than a pull system, for lack of a better description, right?
Well, and what the problem we're solving really is twofold. One is we have so much great content that a lot of people get overwhelmed and bogged down. And the main thing that we're focused on with the personal coaching levels and Peak Performers Inner Circle is prioritization, and instead of having a 100-point to-do list, having a 5-point to-do list. And so we're really helping hone in on that. But this automatic notification, what it does is it puts out to you immediately, and in fact, we'll do it for you, the pieces that should be going out to your students directly. So not only does it keep in mind that you're, you know, to be aware of it, but it helps focus you on really what should be going out at any given time, at any given week, so you can get that built into your pipeline. And again, I think a big breakthrough. You know, a big breakthrough will be you just enter their contact information and we send it out for you, so then you don't have to mess with it. But did we have Pete on the line? Did he ever
get
Pete,
we now have I just got to my desktop where I could, or my laptop where I could get that thing actually unmuted. So I think we should be good. Pete, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
We got you.
Yes, we can.
Wonderful. I'll be brief. Thanks for all the advice from the last call. I'm still working on implementing it, and it's going well. My question has to do with, I've been promoting the Parents' Night Out for the last 2 weeks. How do I encourage people to bring those guest permission slips earlier than the night of? That's been my challenge in prior events, and I just thought my window of promotion wasn't early enough, but I've been promoting it for the last 2 weeks. How do I encourage those guests to come in? I've already offered a jumpstart confidence class so that the kids feel more comfortable in the environment during our mini class the night of our parents' night out. Are there other tips that I can employ to get those permission slips from the guests that are set to come in?
Well, I mean, it's just like doing a birthday party, right? And if you look at, I'm now out at all the different locations that do birthday parties, both for a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old. And although a lot of them do a poor job of collecting it, they have two things that they have a tendency to do. One is they have a system in place so that you can electronically RSVP, and I'm forgetting the system. There's a free system that you can use where they electronically RSVP and then ask for their contact information and so forth. And certainly you're techno-savvy enough that you could do a little RSVP page on your website, right?
Yeah, there are a bunch of free plugins, like Gravity Forms is one of them, but there are a bunch of free form, web form plugins, where you can just set up a form and they just go there and fill it out. And you can plug that right into your WordPress site, like in, you know, literally a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. So that's one solution. The other solution is just in the registration form that you hand out, again, just like birthday parties. So if you give them, 30 invitations like you would for a birthday party, and those invitations have the information for them to fill out, what a lot of them are going to do is use that piece of paper to actually show up on site. So on that form, I would mark clearly, and that doesn't mean they're all going to do it, I would mark clearly, please RSVP. And nowadays, I think the RSVP can all be at the website. So you can point them at that page for the website that says, you know, please RSVP for the event. And then they'll go fill that out.
I would say too, myself, that just to kind of wrap around that, for anybody who wasn't really kind of caught up, what he's describing basically is, you know, when you have any of these kind of internal events at the school, one of the pieces of execution that we work on, you know, we work really hard on, is instead of waiting until the day of and everybody who shows up, instead of just kind of being kind of passive like that, we want to be more active, and we try to get the permission slips ahead of time, right? So now we can pre-educate them a little bit, we can warm them up a little bit, we can send them some preparatory information, we can confirm them and make sure they're going to be there. It gives us a lot of advantages, right? So if you're in that mode of doing the parents night out thing or whatever, and your intent was, well, I just, you know, they sign up for the thing and they show up or they don't, right? You know, we want to be a little more proactive than that. So that's kind of what Pete's describing. And certainly giving them an online mechanism to do that is useful. Obviously, we're going to be emailing them and texting them and stuff like that to try to get that. In a lot of cases, obviously, we're working through the parent of the student, right? Because we're talking about the person that they're bringing or the referral that they're bringing. So sometimes we've got to take that. And I mean, really, you can't beat the personal phone call. I mean, it's not easy to get a hold of people nowadays, but, you know, it is pretty tough to get a result better than, you know, literally calling them up. You know, doing a voice broadcast is pretty useful, too, because they, you know, especially if it's you at the school, they take it relatively seriously. It's not like they, you know, it's not like it's, you know, AT&T that's, you know, trying to sell them some long distance or anything. It's you, you know, talking to them. So, I think it's just a multimedia strategy that we kind of default to, you know, send them a text, I'm going to send them an email, I'm going to send them a voice broadcast, I'm going to call them, you know, send them a carrier pigeon, you know, whatever I can do. And obviously the electronic stuff we can pretty easily automate. So, and I think the other piece of it is just you want to have like that wrap, you know, you want to have like that piece of phraseology that gets them to understand it's important for you to get that, you know. So when you're talking to the parent of the student who is bringing the person, you know, it's, you know, Mr. Jones, you know, it's really important to me. Can you make sure that you get this filled out for me and have them, you know, have it ready for me, you know, for tomorrow? I really need to make sure that I have, you know, all my ducks in a row, and, you know, my insurance company always wants to make sure that I have, you know, signed, you know, permission slips from anybody who's going to be in the school for this type of event. So is there any way you could make sure you get this done for me by tomorrow? You know, it's that kind of stuff. Or I guess maybe I would ask you this question. Are you going to see Mrs. Jones tomorrow night? You know, tomorrow. Okay, great. Well, could you then? You know, that sort of thing, right? And it really is, I don't know, if you have a good program director, that's what they're doing. You know what I mean? If you've got somebody who's really engaged in what you're doing at the school, those are the types of activities that they can do. Whereas if it's, you know, it's just a little part-time instructor or something like that, he doesn't really care about the ultimate results of what's going on. It's hard to get him to think that way. But, you know, I think the tap on the shoulder of the mom is really the best, you know, the best angle. And then augment it with all the electronic stuff that you can do cheap, free, and automated, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think what we have a tendency, once somebody gets pretty engaged in a lot of this, is to get so kind of direct marketing focused that we miss the point that in a martial arts school environment, the thing that works the best is looking them in the eye, tapping them on the shoulder, having them nod their head and agree that they're going to, participate and be there. And short of that, I mean, you know, the best direct mail experts in the world may get 2 or 3% response rate and, you know, and email and all that stuff is way down from there. So, but if you want to get 70%, 80% participation, the way to do it is to look them in the eye and confirm that they're going to be there.
Absolutely.
So, but on the RSVP ahead of time, going back to that specifically, is, you know, most of these moms now, you know, they're doing a couple of things with this. One is, you know, the invitation is going directly to elementary school and being passed out to the kids. So on the physical invitation that's going to go out to the elementary school and be passed out to the kids, you want to make sure you have the RSVP instructions and RSVP them back into doing the website confirmation. The second thing that they're doing is they have a lot of them on email or Facebook or text. And by all of those mechanisms, of course, they can, you know, they can provide the link that then they RSVP back that they're going to be there. But, you know, everybody then I would treat it the same way as you would treat a birthday party, which is there's invitations, they get a, you know, they get a probably more than adequate number of invitations physically to pass out, and then they have RSVP instructions, and the RSVP instructions take them back to a web form to confirm. And then, of course, once they fill out that web form, it opens it up for you can do a text message confirmation, you can do an email confirmation, you can put your program director on calling and meeting all the people before they come in and telling them what to expect and having them feel comfortable about it. There, I mean, there's any number of ways to follow up from there, and you should do all of them. Pete, is that helping?
I'm sorry? Yes, exactly. I missed a small mechanism on the actual form itself, so I appreciated that. It was really a good patch.
Yeah.
Gravity Forms was a good one. They have a free version and a paid version. There are a million others. Just, since you're using WordPress, just Google, like, free WordPress form, web form plugins. And there's, like, literally there's a million of them, and they all have different features. You know, within, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of research, you'll be able to find one that'll do exactly what you want to do. All you really need is for them to fill the form out and have it email you a confirmation. And that's basically the core functionality of all of those forms. In fact, in your case, just use an AWeber form. You know what I'm saying? Just create an AWeber form in AWeber, and now they're automatically loaded into your system, too.
Right. Got it.
Rock on.
Good. Pete, any other questions on that subject or any others?
Yeah, Master Oliver, Joe Hunsinger from Pennsylvania. I'm not sure.
Okay.
You're probably running pretty close on time, but birthday parties.
We've got about 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Birthday parties, what I'll say is the hook. I realize that the hook should start from the beginning, okay, but you know, your take on either guiding me to the website to do a little better hooking on the birthday party, get people to sign the turnover from the fund to the value, of course, has to be presented. But then from there, the clients are pretty much well aware, the parent clients are pretty much well aware of the fact that we're trying to hook them and they really don't want to be hooked. So I just want your take on that. That's all.
I guess I'm not following.
Okay.
I think he's talking about executing actually the day of the thing, right? The day
That's
of
correct.
The event. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, the day of the party. I realize that could be a long, drawn-out conversation in and of itself, but, you know, tail ends of the parties, spinning the wheel, you know, anything else that you could guide me to besides pique interest, to get them to take it a little more seriously about coming to a class to participate and maybe have the thoughts of joining rather than, oh, they want to make us join, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's basically my question there.
Well, I guess I don't get the frame of reference of they want to make us join. You know, ultimately, I think what you should have is you should have the class so exciting, the party so exciting, you know, all of it is exciting enough that they are really enthusiastic about coming back for another class or two.
Okay.
And if that's free, you know, who wouldn't want to do that? And,
That's true.
You know, you don't want it to be salesy, but I mean, nothing that we're doing should be, you know, quote unquote salesy. Now, you want to be effective in getting a high percentage of the people you get there to make an appointment. But a lot of that really can be done ahead of time. So again, it's just like we were talking about. If you get them to RSVP ahead of time, and you say we're so excited about coming down for Billy's birthday party. And by the way, all the kids who come down are also going to come to an additional couple of classes, so they'll get a little bit more value from the deal. There's no obligation. There's not a sales pitch. It's, you know, it's free. And we'd like to go ahead and schedule that for you. You know, the resistance is going to be pretty low. Now, what does happen from a standpoint of converting them to enrollments is I always think the psychology is a little different between, say, advertising, whatever that might be, an ad in the newspaper, a TV spot, direct mail, and something like this, because what's different about it is that they're now coming down on March 10th or February 15th, because that's when their friend's birthday party is, not because that's the right time for them to start a new activity. And so the reason why the conversion rates will be less then they will be versus somebody responding and proactively coming to you is because of that dynamic.
Sure.
And so
sure.
what you want to do is you want to make sure you have them in, you know, as best way I could phrase it, I guess a permanent follow-up system where you're going to follow up with them, you know, essentially, you know, every month of every year for, you know, for 3, 4, 5 years, because March may not be the right time, but May may be the right time. You know, August may be the right time, fall may be the right time. And once you've got them where they've been in and they've been a little bit interested, you want to continue to follow up from then on.
Okay. You know, basically what you're telling me is stop getting depressed because they didn't instantly sign up and stay with it anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you should have some that sign up.
Sure.
But if you have... You know, let's say you have a party of 30 kids, and you get 5 enrollments. But now you have 25 additional leads. And
right.
Now, would it be unreasonable to think that by following up with email with them 300 times, by text message a bunch of times, by direct mail 2 or 3 times a month, inviting them to all the other events and activities you have in the school for the next year, you could get at least another 20% of them?
Right.
And
so I hear you.
You got
I hear you.
Another 20%, you got 5. And,
sure.
You know, I mean, when we did the marketing boot camp, we ran through the numbers. I mean, if you spent, let's say, $4 a month on the leads, and you only got, you did that for a year, so now you've spent $48 on each lead over a period of a year, and you got 1 out of 5 of them to come and enroll, it costs you $250 to get an enrollment. And all of us should be charging at least that much when they enroll, right? So
yep.
The minute that person enrolls, you broke even. And
sure.
I don't think the 20% number is unrealistic for somebody who is warm and raised their hand and so forth. But I also think it's unrealistic to think that you're going to get there by sending them a postcard and calling them once. You've got to be really, really good at follow up, so that they don't fall through the cracks.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and that's probably, I think what you said, the first thing you said is particularly useful. You want to make sure that you have an excuse, right? You want to make sure that you have a logical and an emotional reason for them to come do something, whatever the next thing is, right? And, you know, our kind of rotating quarterly strategy on that always was, you know, one month we would do, like, the free child ID thing. The next month we would do, like, the anti-abduction thing. The month after that we would do, you know, whatever, right? So, I mean, you know, some reason for them to want to come back in. And, again, it's that urban and urban, right? It's the emotional reason to buy now and the logical reason to buy now. You kind of have to have both. And, you know, certainly the magic sauce is what's happening on the floor, right? And then the second piece of magic sauce is somebody having the empathetic understanding and empathy to sit down next to that person and say, hey, man, it looks like Johnny's really having fun out there. You know, have you ever thought about doing something like this for him? You know? I mean, that question really opens up a lot of doors sometimes, you know? And, you know, Joe, I'll send this over to you, but if you guys look at the, there's a report that I did about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, on live event execution steps. And I think it was 7 steps, if I'm not mistaken. But I'll find that outline for you, Joe, and I'll send it over. I'll send it to everybody. But they're like 7 fundamental, like, big bullet points that I always want to hit at one of those live events, right? And I think what you're describing is a couple of those. So I'll zap it over so you can take a look at it again. But that ability to have a human being, you know, whether it's the program director or whoever it is, you know, literally tap each guest on the shoulder, the parent on the shoulder, and sit down next to them and say, hey, listen, you know, it looks like your son Johnny's really having a great time out there. You know, have you ever thought about doing something like this for him? You know, it looks like it might be a great fit. You know, have you ever thought about that? And, you know, it just gives you a chance to get a barometer of where they are, you know. And then we can go into all sorts of other, like, you know, sales scripting, phraseology, and things like that after that point. But I'll send that list out to everybody so you can take a look at it, and it might help kind of clarify a strategy that everybody can help execute. You know what I'm saying? Rather than just kind of like kind of shooting off different pieces of the puzzle, it might give you kind of a good sense of what kind of an encompassing strategy and outline for everybody looks like. So
sounds good. Yeah, I already just spoke of helped me a lot. Just give me a little bit more purpose with what I'm doing. I really believe that we're doing exciting classes and such, but there's nothing wrong with having more excitement and having them jumping up and down and screaming and making sure the parents are involved as well. So, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Well, and all of this stuff, I mean, you've got to be mediocre at it before you get to be good, and you've got to be halfway good until you get really good, right? And so what's essential to do is just get started and get a bunch of them going, and then keep numbers and course correct. And if you find you're having a party and you're not getting enough, a higher percentage of them where you have their contact information, you need to fix that. And if you're finding you're not getting appointments before the party, you need to fix that. And then if you're not getting appointments at the party, you need to fix that. And you just keep tuning and tweaking. And sooner or later, you get where you're pretty good at it, right? And that's the process, is you keep getting better and better and better at it until sooner or later you've got it all clicking along really well.
It goes back to stats, even at every little thing you do, you know, from what you've all taught us. And the other thing is, and you probably mention it every time we get a gathering, is not to get upset or emotionally let down if you don't get these big bangs as you, everyone would like to get, but a little trickle is great from here, or a little trickle from there, and they all add up. And I'm pretty good with that part of it. My staff has very major problems getting emotionally let down when they don't get a big bang every time. But I have to train them not to worry about the big bang. Go for it anyway, and then take the results and keep analyzing the stats and improving upon them, as you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have to do 20 different things every month to get 20 new students, you know, the outcome is you've got 20 new students.
That's right.
You can get it where if you do 20 things a month and you get 22 new students, you've gotten a little bit better. And then if you get it where you do 20 things a month and you get 25 new students, you've gotten a little bit better. And you just keep working at it from that standpoint. And, you know, it's just you've got to do enough stuff to hit the numbers you need. And then keep good stats on it, so you get better and better and better as it flows. And again, I over and over and over again, we see schools that do, you know, five things a month, and they're getting five enrollments a month. And sometimes they think that I'm a moron because I say, well, what if you did 20 things a month? Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, if you did this event and this event and this birthday party and this other thing, and cumulatively you got five enrollments, what if you just multiplied the activity by four?
Sure.
And, you know, it would be better if we could get more efficient. But imagine if we multiplied the activity and got more efficient, you know, all hell breaks loose. You know,
right.
You'd go crazy. But you got to be thinking in terms of doing both.
Right, I understand. Sounds good. Sounds great.
And, Master Miller, I think we have Jeff Smith on the line. Jeff, are you out there? He had just texted me about getting in.
Yeah, 917 number that's unmuted, and I've not seen another one.
Do we just go right ahead and Matt Miller, I have to run to a different call that I have. But if you have a few minutes, probably worth doing a few more.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there he is.
Okay. I just figured out how to unmute it. Okay.
I'm going to leave the two of you with it then for a few minutes because I've got another appointment I've got to run to, Matt Miller.
Yeah, I'm waiting for an appointment now that I have, so I'll stay on as long as I can.
I'm going to call here, too.
Well, thanks, everybody, and I'm going to look forward to Orlando, and I'll leave you two with it for a minute.
Sounds good.
Okay, I think we're all set. Okay, so I guess there were a couple of people that had unmuted themselves. Did anybody else need to jump in here in the last few minutes, or have a 917?
Actually, 917, that's me from True Force, Diego.
Okay, hey, Diego, how are you?
How are you? Very well. This is some implication. I actually didn't even know how to, this is my first time even on the on this phone call thing.
Yeah. Don't feel bad. Actually, you know, it's interesting that there's about 25 or 26 brand new people on. So again, you know, it's hard to, these conference lines get a little unwieldy if we let everybody unmuted, right? So you know, you just have to hit star six and kind of wait your turn a little bit because otherwise it gets a little crazy. But you know, what's the app for?
I've been wanting to implement the pizza party, the birthday party. I want to implement these procedures, but what activities once we sort of implement these parties? Do we look at the website? Is there sort of a guideline? Because here, a lot of you guys are doing it, but I'm like, okay, but do it, and then what are we going to do when we're there?
Yeah. Diego, I don't think I've seen your file. Are you a peak performer, or are you an excellent impact member?
Actually, I'm a new impact. I just started.
Okay. So what I'll do, Diego, is I'll send you over the outline. But basically what you've got is this. You have there are a bunch of different kind of implementations, but that procedure list I was talking to Joe about, I think will answer your question. Because there are a few pieces of magic that make these things work, right? Part of it is obviously in the marketing and promotion of it to make sure we get enough people there and get them bring referrals and stuff like that. And then another piece of it is the, you know, how we execute while we're there, right? You know, so I'll send that outline out to everybody so you can kind of take a look at it. Diego, the resource that I would point you at is that Ultimate Referral Machine. That's kind of like the step-by-step thing. And I might be able to find the file for you. Yeah. I might be able to find the file for you somewhere and zap you a link. I don't think that it's accessible in the maximum impact level, but I'm pretty sure I can find it for you somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And that one is just one of the strategies that we use as like a graduation incentive, like a graduation party. And it's kind of one of those things where we've kind of tweaked it over the years like many, 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 many times. We kind of, you know, really kind of squeezed all the juice out of the grape. You know what I mean? Where it's kind of like almost over-systemized at this point. So, Diego, I'll jot a note down to myself, and I'll see if I can find that file and zap it over to you so you can take a look at it. And it'll give you a real good outline. But the I'm sorry?
Do we actually find these logs in the website itself, so then we don't have to, you know,
Yes, there is. The part of the challenge is how it's organized. So what you would want to do in your case is go to the
board, and then I get lost, and I'm literally here when I go, you guys are talking at a whole different level. I'm like, okay, I have to be at that level first. I haven't even.
You've got some catching up to do. And what I would say is this: for all the new members that are on the line, right, including yourself, what I would say, Diego, is it's important to kind of take a little bit of a deep breath. And you've got to make sure you walk through that quick start material first, okay?
Yeah,
especially the stats module and the marketing fundamentals module. And the reason is because once you kind of get that, sort of those measuring systems and all that stuff under your belt, then all this other stuff becomes just tactics. You know what I'm saying? So you really want to make sure you get like the right strategy. You kind of set the right course with the ship. And then once you get on the right course, it's just a matter of how you row, right? So make sure you walk yourself through that before you get too distracted. I know how the member site is. There's so many resources up there. There's literally like 850 different things that you can get to as a Maximum Impact member, right? That doesn't include marketing or videos, right? So it becomes a little overwhelming. But make sure you kind of walk yourself through that quick start process first. And then I'll send you this, this wasn't referral machine stuff, but the here's the general outline, okay, of like the on-site activity. And if you search the Maximum Impact member site for internal events, I think it's called, like internal events, there are a couple of different conferences that we've done just on that topic, like, you know, full 90 minutes on just that area, what to do, you know, how to execute these things.
Okay.
But the rough outline is this. You know, typically it's the activity on the floor is basically a first intro, right? Because if you have a really good first intro that convinces people that they should be students, well, that's exactly what you should be executing at the party, right? So let's say it was a birthday party, or let's say it was a pizza party, right? So let's say it's an hour. If you break that hour into four 15-minute segments, it would be, you know, 15 minutes of, like, you know, greeting, warm-up, fun, you know, happy fun stuff. You know, 15 minutes of an intro, 15 minutes of making the star feel like a star, you know what I'm saying? Like fun and games where the birthday party kid or the pizza party kid feels like he's the leader, right? And then the last 15 minutes would be kind of like pizza or cake, right? And I mean, inside of that, there's a lot of intricacies that happen in there. And again, we've got the whole outline. I'll send you the link over so you can take a look at it and stuff like that. But the big rock here is this. You don't want to structure these things like we see a lot of folks who do, like, self-defense seminars and stuff like that. You don't want to have, let's say, for example, just as an argument, you want to do, like, a women's self-defense seminar, and the objective of that women's self-defense seminar was to create new students from that, right? Well, the worst thing in the world that you could do would be to bring, you know, let's say 25 women in for a self-defense seminar and have them walk out the door 2 hours later feeling like they could take on the world, right? Because, number one, they're wrong. But number two, they now don't have a desire to continue on in your program.
Sure.
Right? So what the event should be a marketing system, right? So what you're doing at the pizza party, what you're doing at the birthday party should basically just be a first intro where they're learning a few basics, but really what they're doing is the parents are learning about the culture of the school and what your values are and what, you know, why they should think about being a long-term student and things like that, right? So if you have a really effective enrollment process, introductory process, really it's just the intro, right? But again, Diego, I think the best advice I could give you, Master Smith, you may have a different perspective, but the best advice I think I could give you at this stage in the game, since you're, you know, really kind of just new into this stuff.
I'm very green.
Well, listen. Look, you're not the only person I'm sure who feels this way. Again, we have like, you know, 25 or something brand new people on the line. And in a lot of cases, if you haven't really been looking behind the scenes in your business very much, for whatever reason that is, sometimes this stuff can be pretty overwhelming, right?
So that
quick start process, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hence why I took the step forward to join the net. You know, the information you guys have is pretty ridiculous in a good time.
Yeah, well, yeah, and if you think about, you know, look, and you know, the reality of it is this, and everybody just take this for what it's worth. The reality is this, you know, having one new member, Diego, doesn't really help us all that much, But we take pride in our success rate. We take pride in the results that we get for our members. So what's really going to happen here is Diego is going to have a little bit of an overwhelming experience for a week or two, right? He's going to be a little overwhelmed when he looks at everything and goes, holy shit, right? But then he's going to get his arms wrapped around strategy, and Diego's going to send us like, you know, 10 or 15 referrals in the next few months, right? That's how we grow that much. It's not because Diego's a member. It's because Diego is going to go through a bit of a process here, and he's going to be really thrilled with what happens, and he's going to be sending us other people. And then in addition to that, once we get all of these systems in place in Diego School, right, once we get like the introductory process fixed and we get the enrollment process fixed, all that sort of stuff, then we get to start working on stuff that's really exciting, like staff development and multi-school operations and, you know, creating real wealth from your martial arts school, not just cash flow, you know, things like that, right? So you understand what I'm saying? So just, you know, take a deep breath, make sure you get through that quick start stuff, and I'll send you over, I'll kind of cherry pick a couple of those items.
Okay.
But you might just Google inside the member site. There's a search box on the right hand side. You might type in there internal events, you know, or referral events, and you'll find a few, you know, a couple that we did an entire 90 minutes just on how to execute those things. So I'll do a bit of research and send them over to you too. But that would be a good place for you to start. But get through the quick start stuff first. Okay. Don't shortcut that step. All right.
But I won't.
Okay. Matt Smith, did you have maybe any other perspective, or does that sound congruent to you? I think you may be unmuted again.
Okay, I'm trying to get unmuted here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're here, yeah.
Well, the thing is there's so many details to making that whole system work that if you don't go to that website, or if you don't go, you know, take an overview of the whole thing, it's hard to comprehend all the finer details.
Yeah.
You know, once you have the outline, then you can look at it and say, oh, these are the areas that I don't know, but that I can do and that I can't do. Everybody has different issues when they have any of those special events. Sometimes it's how do you, collect the contact information? How do you get the confirmations? How do you fill up the event? Other people have issues about, well, what do I do at the event? Other people have more concerns about what happens after the event. How do I follow it up? That, you know, so it kind of goes back and forth like that.
Yeah. And here's what I say, internal events. I'm actually doing this right now. Here's the commitment I'll make. This is an area of concern for everybody, trust me, especially new folks who don't do a lot of internal events already. And really what we want to do is, again, I kind of feel like Dave Ruth a little bit, right? If I'm going to damn do it, right, I'm going to say it how I really feel about it, right? If I'm going to freaking do it, if I'm going to go through the effort of actually doing the thing, then I'm going to do the extra little bit of effort it takes to really try to knock it out of the park, right? And I know that I might strike out occasionally, right? I know that I might swing the bat and come up empty. But if I'm gonna step up to the plate, then I'm gonna come prepared. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna do everything I can think of, everything I can come up with to try to make the thing actually work well, right? So what I would say, Diego, is if you can, you know, go do that search for yourself. I'll send you over a link so you can take a look at it. And then if this is a good area for other folks as well that we should revisit, we can schedule another conference maybe at the end of February. And go through the whole A to Z of the whole thing. And I can, you know, maybe we can put together a webinar or something like that. But I'm sure that we have a few of those things up there. I'll have to find them for you. But if anybody else has that same desire, that same need, I'm happy to go back through that again, right? So send me an email. Let me know what your thoughts are. If we get a few yay votes, I'd be happy to schedule a separate time or another conference that we can go through literally just step by step and, you know, walk through all the bullet points of executing these internal events. It's certainly worth the time, and we can update what we already have on the site at the same time. So, we'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
Okay, good. Good, okay. I think, guys, we're really kind of up against the clock. If anybody had anything else that we should address specifically, why don't you send it over to me by email, especially if you have a vote on what Diego just mentioned. You know, if these internal events, looking at a real thorough outline would be useful for everybody. You know, zap me an email, let me know, and I'd be happy to, you know, be happy to walk through all that stuff again. Again, especially with that kind of a thing, you know, MasterScript is a great resource for that as well. And I mean, we've done so many of these things, and have tested and tried this and that, and I mean, just so many different things. All that intelligence would be useful for you to, you know, we can show you the stuff that we did that we know doesn't work very well, show you the stuff that we did that we know, you know, helps a little bit, and some of the things that work really well, right? So, certainly we're happy to do all that. So just, you know, zap me an email, let me know what your thoughts are, and we'll be happy to go from there. Good. Okay. Well, Glenn Schmidt, did somebody else have something?
No, so I said thank you. It was Diego. Thank you very much.
Okay, Diego, no problem. Thanks, man. Go through the quick start stuff, okay? Don't skip that step.
No, I just got it this week. That's why. I literally just got it 3 days ago.
Good. Yeah, take your time. Don't get overwhelmed. I understand it's a lot to consume. So just, you know, be very, you know, block out an hour a day, you know, and just kind of put it on your MP3 player or your iPod or whatever and just kind of walk through it, you know, one step at a time. By the end of next week, you'll have a much more thorough understanding of how to analyze this stuff. Once you have that, it's easy to plug and play these modules, right? It makes it much more, it's just like being a fighter, right? Master Smith would be the best person to speak to this, right? If you walk into a fight and you have no strategy for winning the fight, it doesn't matter how good your tactics are, right? You're just throwing stuff against the wind. But if you go in with a specific game plan, then it's pretty easy to click on different tactics, right? And say, oh, well, this tactic didn't work so well, let's try something else, right? So it's definitely, you know, we want to make sure that you've got a really good strategic view of what's happening in the school, and then clicking on these pieces of tactics are relatively easy. And, you know, frankly, you know, a lot of fun. Good. Okay. So anyway, listen, we're way over time, guys. Again, if you had any questions that weren't specifically answered or you wanted some expansion on those live events, feel free to send me an email, tobymiller@natma.com, and we'll definitely do that. And any other specific questions that we didn't get to, feel free to email those over, and we'll address them on our next call. So thanks, everybody. Really appreciate your time. Thank you, Master Smith. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, guys. Thanks,
everybody. See you soon.